Sally was scheduled to preach this morning, but she has caught that cold that seems to be going around. I'm at the tail end of it. I took my last antibiotic this morning. I'm still taking a little bit of a cough medicine, but Sally is in the midst of it. And I spoke with her yesterday, and she could hardly speak with her voice, and she's pretty sick. So we agreed that it would be better for her to stay home today. So to use a baseball image, we're calling in a lefty from the bullpen, and I'm coming to the mound here. I can't assure you that I have my fastball, but I'll do my best to get it over the plate. That's about what I can do. I'd like to offer a couple of reflections, and that kind of come from this gospel reading that we had from Luke. It's not the most comforting words in the world when you look at that gospel reading. Luke is writing at a time, probably in the 80s, and at that time, a real tragedy had already occurred, and that was the destruction of the temple in Jerusalem in the early 70s, probably around 70, 72 AD. The temple in Jerusalem had been destroyed, and people were living with the meaning of all that. How do we go on? What does this mean? Where do we go forward? The Romans had really done a number on Jerusalem and the temple. It was one of those kind of history-changing moments. You know, we've had them in our own experiences, depending upon our ages. Some of you will remember Pearl Harbor and World War II, and remember that as a history-changing event. Some of us gather here remember 9/11. We oftentimes refer to pre-9/11, post-9/11. There's some sort of a change that happened. There are those moments. And I would propose to you that the destruction of the temple in Jerusalem in the early 70s was one of those moments for those people, because their association with the temple was, this is where God is. This is how we know God. God is with us. And to have that destroyed is to have many things challenged. So Luke, that's the audience to whom Luke is writing. It's already happened. So what Luke does in his gospel this morning is he shares this story of Jesus speaking to people, predicting this event, saying that the time will come when this temple will be destroyed, the stones will come down, the building will not be there, you know, kind of almost predicting it, because the people to whom he is writing have already experienced it. And Jesus is trying to teach in this that it's not just about that building. He knows that people's lives will be changed if this happens, but that the faith journey is about more than that. It's about more than temples and buildings. That's a good reminder for us as well. You know, our buildings are a gift to us, but they are meant to be a way to live out the vision God has for us. They're a way to live out this relationship we have with God. We're not about the buildings and facilities and the many things that we have, but rather they exist to support our relationship with God. And it's important to remember that, because sometimes we can forget that. In our many denominations, we all have our ways of doing things, our customs, our canon law, our traditions, our ways. We can forget sometimes what all that exists for. It's for this relationship with God. And that, in many ways, is what Jesus is saying. While this temple may be destroyed, do not forget, in a sense, who you are. That it's about this relationship with God. And it's an important reminder, I think, to us as well. I'd like to share a story with you that an experience that I had years and years ago that really always reminds me of this in my own life. It was many years ago when I was living in New York, and I was taking a trip to Louisville, Kentucky, to visit a friend of mine and also to make a stop at the Trappist Monastery in Louisville, Kentucky, called the Abbey of Gethsemane. It's a Trappist monastery where Thomas Merton had lived for 26 years of his life. Thomas Merton was a great spiritual writer of the 20th century and has had a huge impact on my life and on my spiritual journey. And so I was going to the Abbey of Gethsemane to visit there, and actually had to visit his grave and just to be there, to be in the place where he experienced his journey. So I was flying out of New York. And I forget whether it was LaGuardia or Newark Airport. I forget which airport it was. But I remember sitting on the plane, and I was sitting near the window, and there was a man sitting next to me. And then there was the aisle, and then there were two seats on the other side of the aisle, and there was a father, a man with his son, a little boy, sitting in the two seats on the other side of us. The plane took off and leveled out, kind of a relaxed atmosphere comes over the plane, and this little boy was so excited about being on this plane. You could just see it in his eyes. I'm wondering if it was his first time on a plane. I don't know. But he was so excited. His eyes were wide. He was talking to people. And this man sitting next to me looks over at him and starts engaging in conversation with him and asks the little boy, you know, what's your name? And the little boy gave his name. And the man said, so where are you going? And the little boy said, we're going to Kentucky. And the man said back to him, well, where exactly in Kentucky are you going? And he said, we're going to Louisville. And the man said, well, everybody in this plane is going to Louisville. That's where the plane's going to land, isn't it? But what happens after that? What are you going to do when you get to Louisville? Where are you going after that? And the little boy kind of looks at the man. Then he looks at his dad. Looks back at the man, looks back at his dad, and then with a smile on his face, he turns to the man and he says, oh, I don't know, but I'm with my father. That to me was, the moment it happened, was one of those moments of just really expressing what the faith journey is. That sense of knowing who you are with and trusting that relationship. And it speaks to me, and it has for many years, spoken to me of that, what we're called to in faith. You know, as individuals and as communities of faith, and it's true of us here at St. Paul's, and it's true of a lot of communities, we all want to know exactly where we're going. Where is this leading? What are we doing? And as individuals, you know, I want to know, what's the destination? Where is this taking me? And I think what Jesus is really calling us to is that the faith journey is not so much about the destination as much as it is about the relationship as we move along, the relationship we have in the journey. We may not know exactly where we're going all the time, but we know who we're with. And it's that trust and walking that journey together that leads us to the great vision that God has for us. We see it throughout Scripture. We see it through the Hebrew Scriptures. God continually calling people, Abraham and Sarah, calling Moses. Never clear on where they're going, but a call into relationship. We see it in the Scriptures of Jesus calling His followers, come follow me. Jesus never says exactly where they're going. It's an amazing story. Come follow me. And they go. And that really is the faith journey. To me, that's the message, one of the messages, that gospel reading from Luke shares with us. We are more than the things that we use to define our faith. We are about the relationship. It's not about where we're going, but who we're with as we go. And so as we gather together today as a community of St. Paul's, may we continue to walk together, be in relationship with each other, and know that all of us, as individuals and as a community of faith, I know who I'm with, like that little boy. I'm not sure exactly where I'm going, but I know who I'm with, and that's what I trust. Let us trust God and the vision and the dream that God has for us, not only as a community of faith, but even in our own individual lives, and walk into that relationship and trust and walk into the glory that God has for all of us.